Today we started speaking about the implications of this question of how tfisa generates yachloku, how significant we see the tfisa as being. We spoke yesterday about what could substitute for the tfisa and the idea that these kind of wimpy things like sitting next to a pile of wheat can substitute for tfisa, you know, indicates that tfisa, at least according to those opinions, is not a very strong base or doesn't need to be a very strong base. The second issue we want to talk about today is the significance of other factors versus the tfisa that could potentially override the tfisa. And here we want to talk about two kinds of things. We want to talk about rayos, other rayos, and we want to talk about other kinds of considerations that may not be a raya, but could be a consideration. So as far as the rayot, let's talk about three things for this time. We'll obviously be seeing more as we continue learning Shnayim Ochsim, but just right off the bat, in the first sugyas here, and just to mention things briefly, and again, we'll get back to Mirtz Hashem, let's start with Migu. We already mentioned Migu yesterday, Tos in the bottom of Beis Amud Aleph, who says that it's considered a Migu Lahotzi. And I mentioned this Chidush Aran yesterday, but let's now look at it inside, now that we're getting here, right, the section on B'makom Migu. Yesh Misha Tiritz, I know I'm going out of order. The Kevin Shazet Tofis V'omid, V'zet Tofis V'omid, Havale Kol Chad V'chad Ki'ilu Muchzik B'kula, V'chavero Ki'ilu Motziya Miyado, V'havihai Migu La'afukim Amono, Migu La'afukim Amono L'am Rinon. Right? The Ran is explaining why would we view it as a migu lahotzi? Because we view each of them as being muchzik on the whole thing. Again, this gets back to the question we've been discussing the last few days, how we view the situation here. We're going to talk about it more in Mitzvah Shem today. You know, are they each muchzik in half? Are they both muchzik on the full? The Tosas Rid is one of the Rishonim who rejects this idea that you would see it here as a migu lahotzi. Okay. The second question, going back to earlier section, is what happens when the tfisa goes against a cheskes marakama? We know that one of them was the original owner. So the Tosas Rush here is medayik from the Lashon of the Gemara in Beis Amud Beis that it's mashma that we go with tfisa and not with cheskes marakama. And he responds very sharply. The E.F. Shalomer came. That's a very strong response. Now again, obviously there's a number of factors here like Shema and Bari and whatever, and we're not talking right now about how all those factors play in. But just the notion that tfisa cannot, would not work as opposed to cheskes marakama makes sense again if your understanding of the significance of tfisa is that it's less powerful. A third issue I want to raise is the issue of how bari v'shema would play in. We're all familiar with bari v'shema, bari adif. Of course, in the case of our Mishnah, they're both bari, so that's not the case. But the Ramban raises the question of what would happen, Rabban Baba Basra, if there were a Bari V'Shema. And he gives a very broad sweeping statement, which is, of course, important beyond our sugya, but it includes our sugya. Uvechol ha'nechdini, bein bedine diachloku b'shvua o b'lo shvua. Bein b'chol de'olim gvar, inami b'yemunach. Hanimili b'bari v'bari, avo b'bari v'shema, b'kulu bari adif. T'haleka l'chad minayu chazaka d'mamona. So again, the first part of the statement of the Ramban could be seen as him just, you know, believing the gap between Bari and Shema is so large that nothing can counteract it. But in the second part, he adds, if there was a chazaka d'mamona, it'd be something else. We don't see yachloku b'shvua, even our case, as a case where there's a chazaka d'mamona. And again, we've already seen this in the Ramban. Kovetz Shiurim, you know, quotes the Shar HaMelech, who quotes, the Shar HaMishpat, excuse me, who quotes this Ramban in Ritva, and he brings this in as relevant to this broader question, the suffix of whether Shnai Mochsin is each one Muchsik in the whole thing, or you know, each one Muchsik only in half, and he sees this, you know, as connected, this question of the Ramban. So these are three examples of how, you know, the question of other Rayos versus Yachloku, you know, obviously depends on the strength of the other Rayos, but also on the strength of the Tfisa. Now in the second part of talking about other you know, how other things play off would be, again, other kinds of considerations, and most significantly, you know, would be Vaday Ramoy. Does Vaday Ramoy keep us from saying Yachloku? So, you know, just going in order of the Daptim, obviously it's addressed the Farish on Daf Gimel. But let's start with Rashi at the bottom of Beis Amud Aleph. And again, Rashi there is speaking about, you know, according to Rav Papa, and again, this is one of the issues we brought up on the first day when we learned the Gemara, that there's a lot of Gemara here in a lot of different stages, and a lot of different Amaroyim, and a lot of different parts of the conversation. And part of what needs to be done is to cross-reference between them. And I'm sure those who saw the Makoros today saw how one of the Rishonim is a big cross-referencer in his discussions. Who's that? Anyone? Who's the big cross-referencer here? The Rashba, in many ways, and the Rashba did this in general, but we see an example of it here in our sugya. In any case, Rashi on the bottom of Beis Amud Aleph, regarding Mekach u'Memkar, says, Dafka Mekach u'Memkar hu d'armini achloku b'shvua, t'ikla meim shneim kanua, u'lishneim nisratza amocher. Aval zeo me'ani araktia, v'zeo me'ani araktia. Again, clearly one of them is lying. Lo yachloku, devade chad minayu ramoyhu, v'tehim munachas et sheyovo elio. Okay, Rashi is clear, at least in this stage of the sugya. In the case of Vade Ramos, it overrides, you know, the interest in having said Yachloku. Again, you know, it seems the Tfisa isn't strong enough. We'll see a couple other places where Rashi, you know, John, seems to say that Tfisa is not that strong, which again is, you know, part of what pushes me to play down the significance of Rashi on that Beis Amud Aleph. Again, John is smiling because he's got the Marami Rutenberg and the Mordechai and et cetera on his side, so he has nothing to be embarrassed about. Just mentioning him because he's the one who mentioned it. The Ramban on Gimel Amud Beis and on Beis Amud Aleph also takes this position. The Ramban discusses, you know, the significance of Vada Ramay in a number of places throughout the sugya. I put in parentheses, I don't want to drag people through those long Rambans. And the truth is, there's a place mefurish in the Gemara where the Gemara seems to say that Vada Ramay is a trump over Yachloku, no political intention there, right? Where does the Gemara say beferish that Vada Ramay trumps Yachloku, trumps Tfisa?
Bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph.
Gimel Amud Aleph. Beferish, according to Rav Yossi. And John is, you know, reminding us of his point yesterday, based on our point on Sunday, that the Gemara and the continuation seems to apply Vada Ramay according to the Rabbanon as well. So there's definitely a lot of basis in the sugi here for saying Vada Ramay overrides Yachloku. That having been said, Tosfos, on the Beis Amud Beis, top Tosfos, second part of the Tosfos, says it's a Dover Pashat. It's a Dover Pashat, the end of Tosfos. Echa, Shavada Ein Esavar Lomar Emes, Kigon Dedekot Toyin Kol Echad Ani Erak Tia, Mamish Rashi's case. She'echad mehem toin sheker. Bemezid. O kigon shnayim adukim b'shtar delakamon. Hasam pshita diachloku b'shvua. Dal yedei shvua vada yifrish t'choshev v'vono l'choshev shvuasa. It's also saying you definitely need a shvua there. But, you know, the underlying assumption is that you also say achloku. Vadai Ramay does not passel the possibility of saying achloku, which makes a lot of sense if you believe in the achloku. I'm not going to say right Eitan, but, you know, if I was saying it, I would say right Eitan, right? Okay, yeah. The Rashba, understandably, explains this way according to Rabbi Yochanan as well. The Rashba, understandably, explains this way according to Rabbi Yochanan as well. Let's take a look. We're on page 8, at least the way I have it printed out here, right? The Rashba, Beis Amud Aleph. He says, Mikol makom nirali lefidash Rabbi Yochanan alzal, tekol shetfusim ba'omdim, ein hefresh bein ikav ader ramay ledelek av ader ramay. Which again, we discussed whether that's Vade Ramay or not. Right? Period. Okay. He connects it to a discussion he has on Gimel Aleph, which we'll speak about in the second part of this year. We'll get back to that, but that's the basic point he makes. You know what? Let's do that part now. On Gimel Aleph, the Rashba has a lengthy discussion, and those who didn't see it or didn't see it well really have to go back and do it well. Now, I'm not going to get through all the details of how he explains Rabbi Yochanan and the sugya and the Havamina and the Maskana. And those who aren't into sugyas, you know, the briskers, okay, you'll skip it. But those who are into it, you really have to go through it well. And again, maybe you did, you didn't, maybe you need to go back. You'll decide, you know, each one, Kefiru Utei Nav, you know, will decide they want to go back. And, you know, I've been doing my best to field questions from people. Obviously, it's hard from a distance and hard with dealing with everything I'm dealing with. You have each other too? Yeah, Big Talmid Chachamim sitting there. I don't want to mention names. But, you know, I have Eitan Drapkin, Alter Rebacher, he's got a lengthy beard, you know, et cetera. You know, people should take advantage and, you know, ask questions. Baruch Hashem, with lengthy beards, we've got to mention Eitan Levy, obviously. You know, he's a lead leaguer in beardness, you know. Even Drazen and Englander are not yet in Levy's league, correct? Mistama, right? Ryan Jacobson, Jordan, you know, upset there. You know, Eitan Levy's a different darga, you know what I'm saying? No offense to Jordan Levovitz. I'm just saying, you know, there's Levy and there's everybody else. You know, Levy's everyone behind. In any case, the Rashban, Gimel Amud Aleph, has a basic principled question. The Gemara there speaks about Vade Ramay playing a role. He says, Kashali. Hadar Amin and Hacha, the Masnissan Dafka, but the Leka Ramay. The Hamasnissan Stomach Tani. Umashman, the Loshnachi, Loshnachi, Goshnema Ochsen, Bayachloku. Second Kashava Ode. The Hamar of Yochanan Shvuah Zut Hakanas Chachamimi Kadesh Shloya Kol Echad Holif VeTokif VeTalish Shachamer Mishaliu VeTokif Shalok Adin Mashma. Meaning, Rav Yochanan's whole point is that the Shavuah is being made because of Ramoyim. So how are you saying the Shavuah is only where you don't have a Vade Ramoy? So the Rashba says, you know, there are different stages in the Sugya. There's how the Gemara is understanding the Sugya and Gimel Amud Aleph. And then there's, you know, how Rabbi Yochanan understands the Sugya, and they're not the same. And he says that the whole discussion in Gimel Amud Aleph is only the Das HaMaksha, that we view the Chazakah of the third person as if he's Tofes for the two other people, like Tosas understood. He says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we don't see the person who's Tofes that way. It's just someone being Nitfas Biyad HaShlish. And therefore, we don't take it out of his hands to say Yachloku. So the Rashba really says that this question of whether Vade Ramai beats Yachloku, right, it depends a little bit on how you're viewing the Tfisa, which is exactly the point that we're making. He just, you know, connects it to different stages in the Sugya. And the most interesting part, and this will take us to the last part of the Shir, the most interesting part in my mind is the Rashba, is the end. And the Rashba in the end says, you know, Rabbi Yochanan, which is how we paskin, he sees it, you know, the two people as real Tfisa. Let's read the end. Well, the Tamid Rabbi Yochanan, six lines from the end. The Tamid Rabbi Yochanan Nami. Masnisin ben Rav Yosi ben Rabban and Asya, the Shani Hassan, the Kaima Biyad Echod, the case of Rav Yosi and Rabban is different because there it's in one person's hands. Hilkach Layotzi Mitachas Yadu Ela B'Dava Mavurar, so we don't take it out of the hands of the Shlish because we don't view the Shlish as holding it for the two of them. Uchad Arminon Hassan B'Vavasra Yitarsinu Lo Mafkinon, Aval Masnisin Ar Mishna, Me'achu Shezetof Es Ve'omed, Zetof Es Ve'omed, Yachloku. De Anan Sahadi, De Ma'i De Tafes Haidi Dehu, Ukeman De Pasek Nami. In our case, where the two of them are holding it together, we view each of them are holding half. Again, this is the Rashba's understanding of Tvisa according to Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Nachmanel, right? Then on Sadi Demai De Tafsi Hadeya Ukeman De Pasek Dami. It's as if it's already cut in half. Reminds us of the words of the Rashba according to Rabbi Nachmanel Kilu Nechlek Kvar. It's like it's already cut in half. Umin Adin Hayadi Achloku Shelo B'Shvua. This is what we're going to get to in a moment. But if you really see the Tvisa as very significant, you would view the Shavu as not being necessary. And that's the Kasha of the Gemara later. Right, we play down the significance of the Shavu because we see the Tvisa as already at a stage of, you know, Anan Sadi, that each one of them really owns it. And Kemad Pasek Domi. Akilu Nechlek Kvar. This really is a transition to the last part of the shiur today, which is, you know, how the view of the tfisa here impacts your understanding of the shvua and its role, which is what we're going to get to after questions and comments in the, you know, next part of the shiur. Okay, there are 7 chats, but I think most of them are about beards. Yes, they're about beards, so we can continue.
wait, Rebbe, can we ask questions
yes,
now or no?
Yes,
Rebbe,
yes,
can I ask
yes.
a question?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Can you? I'm
back
sure.
To Tosos.
May you? Yes.
Okay. In the Tosos of Zeh, right?
Yes.
Where Tosos answer, right? We're coming off the understanding of the previous Tosos that they each Vade own half, right?
As I mentioned yesterday,
right?
I think there's a little bit of back and forth in Tosfos. And in the end of Shir today,
okay.
In Mirtz Hashem, I'm going to give a suggestion of how we can understand the back and forth. I don't think Tosfos is, you know, and I mentioned yesterday the Rivam versus the earlier Tosas, so that's an easy way of reconciling.
You don't think
there.
That the lashon of Anan Zahadi that you don't think that Tosas says that they don't definitely own half?
Well, he says Ki'ilu. He says Ki'ilu.
Okay.
You know, the Rivam.
But he does say the Gemara, yeah.
The Rivam's words, at least as understood by the Chiddush Aran, go in a different direction. Doesn't necessarily
mean
they
do. Yeah, but the Rivam is totally different than Tosas. Right. It's totally different than Tosas. That's in Baba Basra. A Rivam. Okay.
Rivam. Tosas here.
I haven't seen the Rivam.
No, Tosfos about Migu is quoting the Rivam. That was a point I made yesterday in Shir, that we'd have no reason to expect consistency. Listen in Shir, I think Davi makes the recordings available. I spoke about a few different points in Tosfos that cut in different directions. So maybe take a listen to that we talked about yesterday.
Okay, I will. Thank you, Rabbi. You think he's going like the Rivam?
The Rivam. Yes, Rivam. We know about your affinity to the Riva. We know about that, Andrew. We remember that.
I have no affinity to the Rivar. I mean, I have no affinity to the Rivar.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. In any case, when we get to the Shavua, obviously one could say that the Shavua is necessary as part of the Birur that needs to take place in order to do the Chalukah. meaning you could understand the Shvua me'ikar adin. And where in the Gemara does it sound this way? That the Shvua is a necessary part of the process and not just some kind of external, you know, what a horn would call a din study, right? You know what I'm saying, right? Where in the Gemara does it seem to say that? No, come on. Hasn't been that long since Sunday. Take a look at Beis and Midbeis when the Gemara talks about the Rabbanon and Sumchas, right? Rashi formulates this as the Shvua playing a role. In fact, it's even more understandable according to Rashi's Girsa. I hope people paid attention to it. No, what's the difference between Rashi's Girsa and our Girsa? Come on, it's just the words, no? Our Girsa is Palgila Bishvua. Rashi's Girsa is Bishvua Palgila. Rashi puts the Shvua front and center before the words Palgi. Bishvua Palgila. Rashi isn't saying a chiddush, he's just explaining the words. Kevan de Mechusar Gavaina Bimasha Chavero Tofes. You lack, you know, collectedness. Because the fact that he's toe-faced, again, the case where one person's holding it alone, finished, done. In a case where two people are holding it, okay, and neither of them has it separated, they're both holding it together. This is Rashi from Beis and Aleph. They're both holding it equally together. Kulin shovin ba 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 ba, right? So we need a shvua to separate. The tfisa isn't conclusive enough. We need the shvua to be able to paskin yachloku. Doesn't sound like Rabbi Yochanan, right? Now again, it could be different days without the Gemara. Not a problem, but this sounds very different than the Rashba's Rabbi Yochanan. And the ones who discuss this most at length and even see this as the issue behind the Havamina and the Maskana here are the Rashba and the Ritzbash quoted by the Shita Mekubetzis. Very similar. Each one of them has, you know, different emphases, but the basic same idea. Let's begin with the Rashba. You know, by me, it's on page 9, number 6, the role of the Shvua. Hi, my. Yamar to Bishnam Rabban Hasan Lo Tafsila. Kashali. Udakarila, my Karila. What was the Kasha? My Shaykhala Masnisen. How is the case similar to our Mishnah? Hasan Vade Motzi, who have a lachat darbayo tafsiba. It's pashat the difference there. It's one person holding and here it's two people holding. What kind of equation is this? Says the Rashba v'nirali, the kasal kadatach, the maksha, the masnisan nami, my detofis haidi dehu, my detofis haidi dehu, uki ilu nechlaka kvar. The kol echad muchsik v'omid v'michitza so. V'enimza kol echad balahotzi mechavero tzamachshu tachas yado. The cave in Shekin, Zetzarach Lavi Raya, Bimashabiyav Chavero, Bachelo Havi Raya, in Chavero Chav Latet Oklum, Basic Shvua in Kan Klo, Vechena Sheni Bimashabiyav Chavero. Says the Rashba, our case is the same as the Mishnah. Two people own a half. This is serious, you understand what I'm trying to say? This, you know, Chetzi Chetzi is Mamish Chetzi Chetzi. When I said yesterday, the end of Shia, the Rashba, who initially, at least according to himself, right, talked about the possibility that the din of Yachalku doesn't need Tvisa, right? When you have Tvisa, at least according to Rabbeinu Chananel, it seems the way Rashba takes it throughout the sugyas, the Tvisa is very serious. It's not Ki'ilu. It's Mamish. It's two people who already each toe-face half. Wow. And therefore the Kasha of the Gemara is not why we say Yachalku. That's what I thought the Kasha was. It's not why we say achloku. It's why. No. It's why. Come on. Boo. Boo, everyone. Boo, boo, boo. The kasha is not why we say yachloku. The Rashba has already said it. And he says it again to make it clear to you. The ikar kushyaso gamken l'rabanon machmas hashvuahi. V'lo mishum diktani by yachloku. Gam l'rabanon. The kasha going to Sumchas was about the shvuah, because Sumchas says yachloku, right? Says the Rashba. The kasha going to Rabbanon was also why we need the shvuah. It's just like the case of the Rabbanon, didn't you see? Wow. This is the Rashba strutting it. This is the Rashba strutting Rabbeinu Hananel's understanding of Tvisa, at least his understanding of it. I'll show you how far I can go, my friends. This is mamish like the case of the Rabbanan, even though no one in the world thought so, right? And what's the maskana? Ufarik. I amar to bishlam Rabbanan. Hasam de lo tapsi la tarvayu elakulu biyad haechod legamre. Have the idah chamot v'galu v'rayim. Aval kan tarvayu tapsi. Ve'inena mechulekes, ve'adayin mitatzmin bo, zeh omer kula sheli, uvechezkasi, ve'zeh omer kula sheli, ve'chezkasi. It's not really like the case of the Rabbana, now that I convinced you, right? And with the Chiddush, it's not really each one has it in their own hands. Because there are two things going on here, as we mentioned yesterday, right? One, they really are both muchzik in the whole thing, even though we view it as if each one is on half. And they're both claiming. Rashba makes both the points, right? And they're both claiming the whole thing. A, they're both physically controlling the whole thing, and they're both claiming the whole thing. And therefore, yachloku uvishvua, palgila b'shvua. Or in other words, the Rashba is explaining that our question and how it impacts the shvua is exactly what the Havamina and Maskana here are revolving around. This, my friends, is concepts in the sugya. The Ritzbash, again, goes in this approach as well. And it's so interesting to see the end of his Lashon where he says, Yesh Lomer, explaining the teretz of the Gemara, She'af al b'shekol echad musik b'chatzya, u'mitam zecholkin, mikol makom, kevan sheshneyem tovsim b'talis echad, af b'chatzya ha'acher, kol echad migarei ha'cheskas chaveira chetzarach shvuah. The Ritzbash says the psak here is a reflection of the two different views of the Tfisa here. On the one hand, we view each as tafas on half, and therefore we say yachloku. On the other hand, we view each as tafas on the whole thing, and therefore we need a shvua. We need the shvua to justify our paskening based on the one way of viewing the Tfisa as opposed to the other way. We can understand very well the explanation of the Ritva, who, by the way, explains the formulation of Rabbeinu Hanan like the Ramban, not like the Rashba, to the juxtaposition with Baba Kama. Here we're talking about a Shavuas Notlin. Shavuas Notlin. They're both toughest in the whole thing. You're trying to take part that's yours from this bigger, conglomerate. And understandably, the Rashba, did not call it Shvuas Nishba V'Notlin, right? Because the Maskana, Rabbi Yochanan, the Shvuah is only, to avoid, people from grabbing each other's things. It's not needed Me'ikir Hadin, right? As the Rashba explains, the Maskana, on Gimel and Aleph. And that's why, according to the Rashba, it's not a Shvuas Nishba V'Notel. Right? You're not taking from something. The Shvuah is just, The Shvuah itself isn't part of the process of taking it. The Shvuah is an external din, according to Rabbi Yochanan. So this whole question of how we view the role of the Shvuah is reflective of how we understand the significance of the Tfisa. This is Gishmak stuff, Rabbi Yisai. This is the difference between Shnai Mosin and the third parak of Sukkah. No offense intended. In any case, tomorrow we don't have enough for a full day shir. But we have still more to do, and it definitely pays not to start a new sugyo on Thursday. So what I suggest is people can take the time to look over the Rashba they may not have seen properly or everything else they may not have seen properly. And tomorrow also in Yirtzeh Hashem, hopefully there'll be a few hours to go out you know, on a trip the yeshiva is trying to arrange, at least to go somewhere, a full tiola they're trying to arrange for next week, but they're calling ivrur, to air out, you know, to air out, you know, for this week. Hopefully there'll be some time for that, maybe the afternoon. I don't know, I'm not the one planning it. Shkoach to all the staff who are. But basically, the last piece we're going to discuss tomorrow, which is very sensible, is the possibility that there's more than one track of Yachloku and of how Tfisa works. And of course, you know, one basis for that is different levels of Tfisa, which makes sense, you know, level A, level B, and different levels of Yachloku. Yachloku where it's not based on Tfisa and Yachloku where it is based on Tfisa, meaning even those who hold you can have Yachloku without Tfisa, which, you know, maybe that's Baba Basa versus Baba Metzia, could agree that when you have Yachloku that's based on Tfisa, it's, you know, more significant. Okay. So, you know, these are things we should anticipate, you know, being. If I haven't sent out, if you want to remind me, I'll send out the piece of the Hashlama, which I haven't found, appears on any discs, if anyone finds it somewhere. Safariah, Safaria, wherever you find it, the Hashlama, you're able to send it to me. I can add it to the Makoros for the future. That's great. Any Makor you don't see on the Makoros sheet that someone can find and share with everybody is always great. I put on all the Makoros I can find. Some of the Makoros I don't have as advanced technology possibilities that you guys have. And then as Geshmak is stuff, as Eitan said. And we're looking forward. Baba Metzia continues to be Geshmak. Davi Hazan found a Beis Yitzchak of mine in the library. Is that happen to be the one that has this article in it? I don't know. Maybe you guys can find in the annals of Beis Yitzchak. They must be online somewhere. My article on Shnayim Ochsin. And it pays to read it because the main thing you'll see is not that you'll learn something from that article, but you'll see what it means to grow between the age of 18 and 50 in Mirtz Hashem. You know, saying your learning should continue growing. And hopefully if you're starting to learn on the level I am at 50, at 18, I'm looking forward to seeing what your level of learning will be at 50, because one can only imagine the heights that you'll take it to. So hopefully I saved you guys 32 years. It's a lot of years, no, Rimberg? 32 years is a lot of years. Especially when you're 18, 19, or 20, like Binyamin Klein. Last time to Binyamin Klein on his birthday. 32 sounds like a lot, right? Okay. Let's continue doing our good learning, not just in Shir, and continue taking advantage of the opportunities we have.
Thank you, Abby.